Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number 3 is now upon us on this fine Monday. Kurt Rogers joining us now for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Hello, Kurt.
Hello, John. How are you? How was your Easter?
It's very good, as always. And, it's great. What else can I say? How much better can it get?
Well, with the weather we had this last weekend, this is why we love Colorado so much.
That's exactly right. All right, talk to us about what's going on in the mortgage world, sir.
Well, right now there's a lot of people trying to buy homes, and a lot of people getting discouraged because of the bidding wars. And I'll get people that will call me up and ask me, what should they do to try to make their offers better? And I tell them to get pre-approved. And we've talked about that
right.
Many times, but it is so critical now that the selling agents are calling and not just asking them, are they approved? They want to know much more of detail without getting personal because they have so many offers on the homes.
Yeah, and, you know, I know we talk about it some. I still think there's some confusion that some folks have as to the differences in those approvals. Can you explain real quick?
There's a thing called a pre-qual, which means when you call up and you give us basic information, we can look at it and say, yeah, you're qualified for this much money at this kind of payment.
Okay.
A pre-approval means we then get your documentation, and we can run it through a program called DU, or we can send it to the lender, and the underwriter looks at it and qualifies you with your income and your assets, and the only thing they wait on is the appraisal and the purchase contract, and that one closes much faster. And that's the one that the selling agents are looking forward to say yes on the offer.
So in other words, that's the one you really want if you're going into an offer where you know you're going to be bidding against others.
Right, and that doesn't take 3 or 4 days. That takes a week to 10 days to get that approval. But once you have it, it's good for 90 days. It's like cash. And the sellers want to know that the house is being sold and it's going to cash quickly.
All right, I have a question for you, and I know that we're going a little past our minute, but it's still a great question. There's a lot of homes right now, Kurt, that are selling for way above asking price. I
yep.
mean, not 5 or 10 grand, but in some cases 50, 100, or even 200,000 over asking price. How does that work when it comes to the appraisal and then that approval you just mentioned?
Well, let's say you get a house appraised at, or you get approval for 550, but you got to pay 600,000 for the house. But the house appraises at 550.
Okay.
They will give you what you appraised at, what the house appraised at, times whatever percentage you're putting down, 10 or 20, and that's the loan amount. The difference between the loan amount and whatever you agreed to pay, you have to bring to the table in cash.
So, because my point is, I think there's folks out there thinking that, oh, you know, this thing's going to end up appraising for what, you know, for what we offered, even though that may be 100K over asking price. But if it doesn't, they're on the hook to make that up. Am I correct in saying what I just said?
That is correct. That is correct. And you're right, John. Some people will think, well, here's what I'm offering. That's what it'll appraise for. Comps, you got to find 3 homes within the last 6 months, within the last mile, that match that price.
So in other words, otherwise, that's a little bit dicier than what some people may think. You got to be careful is what I'm trying to get at.
That is correct. And the appraisers right now are having a hard time because values are moving so fast. Even
right.
though somebody offers it, it might not close at that.
Right, right. Okay, makes total
and
sense.
And one of the other key ingredients, do yourself a favor. If you don't have a good realtor, find somebody that's been doing this for a while because otherwise they're not going to know how to negotiate and get you the home and get your bid to be approved.
Okay.
Agents are real important right now.
All right. I'll mention how to get a hold of you in a minute. What's up on Haystack Help tomorrow, sir?
We're going to have a couple of doctors on the show tomorrow talking about sleep apnea and devices that can help you get through the night that's not a big mask on your face.
Okay, awesome. Kurt, as always, I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Have a great night. And that's Kurt Rogers, our Monday Mortgage Minute. Find Kurt today by just calling him at 720-895-0500. Again, that's 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, when we have something that happened like we did a few weeks ago here in Colorado, and with the Biden administration on top of that, typically firearm sales go up. Is that good, bad, or otherwise? It doesn't matter. It is what it is, folks. They're going to go up. Much like the real estate market in Colorado, as we were just talking to Kurt Rogers and Charlie and I were talking just at the break there, you know, our housing prices are skyrocketing. Well, guess what's happening? The gun world is the same thing. I'm not saying prices are skyrocketing, but they are. In fact, as it's the old supply and demand, as supply goes down, demand goes up, prices will do the same. Talk to Franktown Firearms, find out what they've got in stock, what you can buy, get in, get it done, get it handled, and I would not delay. KLZradio.com is how you find them, or call 720-770-7777.
Regardless of your starting point, Franktown Firearms will take your shooting skills a level up. Maybe you've never shot a gun before, and you want to get over your fear of pulling the trigger. Maybe you consider yourself an experienced marksman, but you've never received tactical training, and you want to develop muscle memory to respond in any situation. Head trainer Karen Murray and her team of trainers at Franktown Firearms design their classes to cater to your level of ability and prior knowledge, offering a diversity of firearms platforms from static to moving and shooting to target acquisition engagement. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it very much. Hampton Conway III now joining us, Executive Director of the Movement Ministries. Hampton, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you joining us very much. And honestly, a topic that not very many people, especially in the news media or even the talk show world, talk about, but we're going to today, and that is, why are men being treated as second-class citizens?
Yes, sir.
And I guess question would be, why are they? Well, you know, and I'm a man, you are as well, and I'm not saying that we always get a bad rap or every man gets a bad rap, but you and I both know that some do.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I think, you know, in many instances in our society or in our culture, you know, there are situations where men are prejudged or stereotyped, just like many other groups are as well, and very often those stereotypes just aren't true, especially in certain situations.
No, and, you know, I've experienced some of that myself, and I'm sure you have as well, and I try to not be, I don't know about you, Hamden, I just try to be me. I don't try to be any type of a stereotype of any way, shape, or form. I just try to be me, do my own thing, not worry about what everybody else thinks. I do what I need to do, what I know I need to do, you know, in regards to, you know, my faith and where that takes me and you know, where I feel I'm accountable to. And outside of that, I'm not accountable to the world. I'm accountable to somebody other than that.
Absolutely, and you know, for some people, you know, it's hard to just do you without, unfortunately, considering, you know, how other people may perceive you or, you know, judge you. But yeah, if you can get to that point and do that, that's great. Unfortunately, while we're doing that, that doesn't stop other people from
true
seeing us and treating us a certain way.
Very true, and what I know along those lines Hamden, and what I try to teach as well, or even we talk about here on the show, is, you know, doesn't matter. You still got to be you, do what you do, and quit worrying about what everybody else thinks, even if some of that comes in, you know, a very confrontational matter. It doesn't mean that we don't stand up for ourselves. I would never say that. But how we do that and how we approach those things, I think, really do separate us from others, Hampton. And, you know, I also know that there are those situations where, you know, men can be systematically abused, whether it be in their own home, whether it be in their own job. And I don't think that gets talked near enough, you know, in as far as the public eye goes. We talk a lot about, you know, women that are abused and kids that are abused. And by the way, abuse of any kind on any other, you know, fellow human being is wrong, period, Hampton. I don't care who that person is. It's always wrong. Yet this is one of those areas when it comes to, you know, adult males that we rarely talk about.
Absolutely, man. And I faced, you know, exactly to your point, as far as, you know, how men are treated very often, you know, I really had an uphill battle just within our court system in trying to fight for myself and for my children as a man and as a father. I mean, I really had a hard way to go. The police gave me a hard time. Child Protective Services gave me a hard time. Mm-hmm. Judges gave me a hard time. And it was just like, wait. You know, all the people I'm counting on to help me are the people that have given me a hard time.
Well, that's because, you know, for you and I, and I've experienced some of what you're talking about as well many, many years ago. And I will tell you that I don't think a lot of it's changed, by the way. I mean, mine was, you know, 30 years ago that I experienced some of that, but I don't think it's any different today. If anything, Hampton, it might actually be worse today than it was then. And that is that when you and I are men, and we go into some of the situations you just mentioned a moment ago, because we're men, we're at a disadvantage because it's automatically assumed that a woman does a better job at things than you and I do.
Absolutely. That is definitely a big part of it, man. It's assumed that they do a better job, assumed that because you're the man, you know, certain things shouldn't happen to you or couldn't happen to you. You know, they assume that because you're the man or the father, you know, that you know, you don't have the same privileges, you know, it's very unfortunate. I mean, I remember one time I almost got arrested. I, as you brought up, I was the victim in an abusive relationship with my ex-wife. And there was a particular time where she had lashed out and was attacking me that I could not escape. I couldn't get out the house. I couldn't get to the car. Mm. And I called the police.
But you did.
The police. I did. Yes,
you
sir.
Did. Got it.
And when they showed up, she ran out the house, you know,
right,
crying and putting on this performance. And they tried to arrest me. And I'm thinking, God, I'm the one who called.
Right.
I'm the one who called.
Right.
And
why would I call on myself? Would be the answer.
Right. Exactly. And the only thing that saved me, I think, is that she didn't have any physical marks. Because they couldn't see any physical marks on her, they didn't arrest me. Now, they still made me leave. They still told me,
wow,
I had to leave my own house, you know, and go somewhere else for the night. Me, the one who called.
Yeah, but, and again, and that, Hampton, is what's wrong with that, with our whole system, if you would. And I don't want to get into all of my, you know, dirty past and, you know, air my laundry and so on. I'm not going to do that. But let me just say this, Hampton. I'll say it this way. Everything you just mentioned, I can very much relate to and understand fully what you're talking about. I've been there. I've done that. I know full well what you're talking about. And I also know that it's extremely hard to find representation that will believe in you that you are that way, not the other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it was definitely an uphill battle.
Yeah, I don't know how else to say it. It is an uphill battle. And, you know, I've been through some of those battles where you're fighting for custody and doing all those different things. And to your point, you know, we as men in a lot of cases are already assumed to be inferior at that point when it comes to, you know, running a household, taking care of kids, you know, all those different things. And by the way, I'll make sure I say this up front. Everybody knows this about me. Hampton, I believe that there are roles inside of relationships and certain people have different gifts and talents. And typically speaking, yes, moms are more of that listening agent and they're lending an ear and they're taking care of things and so on along those lines. While we are that, you know, we're going to provide and make sure that all the finances and other things are met and so on. But I also know that we can be that same way when it comes to lending that listening ear and being there and being sympathetic. I mean, my point is, I don't think that the stereotype of all women are one way and all men are another, or all moms are one way and all dads are another, when we start assuming those things, we're shortchanging people involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, in my situation and many other situations, the kids are the ones that,
yes,
that get the short end of the stick. But like you said, you know, just because certain genders or certain people have certain strengths doesn't mean I'm weak.
Right.
You know, so
right.
You very well said.
That's right. Yeah. And the other thing that happens, and again, I'm not airing laundry or anything. I'm old. All my kids, my youngest is now, you know, 29. I mean, I'm a long way past all of that, Hamden. But I will tell you that, you know, the other thing that happens in those situations is kids get, I want to make sure I use the word correctly. I believe they get abused, maybe not in a physical way, but very much a mental way, because the kids end up being pawns that are used in a larger game by certain individuals, and at the end of the day, no one wins.
And you are absolutely right, and I think people underestimate the level of emotional and psychological abuse that does take place in these situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so people that are listening, and we may have some men right now, Hamden, that are listening to some of this that are thinking, man, you guys are you know, speaking my language, you know, you guys know exactly what I'm going through at right now at this moment in time. What's your advice to men that may find themselves in the same situation you were in?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I would say, you know, just let them know, you know, you're not alone. There is hope. There is help out there. Even though resources aren't as prevalent, you know, for men in these situations as there are for women, there is help. And, you know, the best thing, you know, you can do is one, just tell somebody. Tell somebody you trust. Don't hold it all in. And then also come up, you know, and come up with a plan. You know, and if you can get to somebody, even if you contact my organization, like, you know, I'm in Maryland, but we definitely are doing our best to build databases all over the country to be able to put, if we don't have the resource, we're going to put you in touch with a resource to help you navigate your situation.
I think what you just said, too, is a key word, navigate, because there are, and I will say this, what's different now versus 30 years ago when I went through some of the challenges that I had at that time is there are, to your point, better resources, including even better legal representation today. I mean, let's face it, Hamden, there's even some attorneys and such where they strictly represent men only. They've got some great advice on, you know, how to handle different things and what you should be doing and the things you should or shouldn't be saying, the things you should or shouldn't be doing. They give you a lot of advice that, honestly, Hamden, didn't exist 30 years ago.
And that's exactly who I went. I went with a law firm that was precisely what you just described.
So we have gotten much better at that through the years. And again, Hamden, I want to make sure I'm clear on this, that everybody listening. I'm not taking sides here. If there's a situation inside of a family where, you know, a couple is struggling, you know, I'm not taking sides and saying it's always the woman's fault, it's always the man's fault. You know, let's face it, Hamden, it's equal. I mean, I get that. I've been there, done that. I realize that, you know, things happen and it's not always, you know, pointing the finger both ways that corrects the problem. You know, we have to sometimes look in the mirror and say, okay, what can I change to make things better? But I also know, you know, saying all that, I will also say this, Hamden, there are also situations where abuse does occur, and it's not really by any fault of that individual. It's just the other person is angry, or they've got things going on in their own world that they're dealing with, and they're taking it out on that other partner. I'm not making excuses saying that's right, because it's far from that, Hamden. I'm just saying those are the things that happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's happening. You know, and I agree with you, and I advocate for all victims and survivors of domestic violence and domestic abuse, but it is definitely happening. Men are definitely being abused more than what people realize.
Yeah, they're sort of that unheard voice, or that silenced voice, if you would, because in a lot of cases, and you said it yourself, they, A, don't know who to turn to. They don't know who to talk to. I think in some cases there's some embarrassment that also goes along with that we as men have a hard time admitting those things are happening as well. And so in turn, we just sort of internalize those things and never talk about them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one interesting thing, too, is when I came out of my situation and started getting trained to be able to help others, one of the most popular tools that a lot of these organizations use is called the Duluth Power and Control Wheel. Well, the power and control wheel, the whole, all the language in the wheel is gender biased. It says It talks about the reasons why people abuse and say, you know, when he does this to her, and then, you know, when he makes her feel like this, and when he makes her do, you know. And so I'm sitting there in this training as a former victim myself, and I'm like, wow, the tool they're using to train me is excluding me, you know. So that was, you know, but that's just a classic example of how people don't pay attention to those types of things. And imagine, you know, how much that will turn off a man that could have been in that situation, and all that applied to me just reversed.
Yeah. Bottom line, folks, stop hurting, start healing. Hamden, how do they get a hold of you and your ministry?
Yes, sir. They can go to makemoves.org. And there's a form on there, on that front page, where they can put their contact information, and I will respond and try to support you any way we can.
Man, I've enjoyed it, Hamden. I appreciate it. Thank you for being a voice for a lot of folks out there, a lot of men, I think, especially, that feel like they have no voice. Thank you for being that voice for them.
Hey, thanks for using your platform to have this very important conversation.
You're very welcome, Hamden. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a great afternoon and evening, and I do appreciate you joining us. Golden Eagle Financial is up next. Al Smith would love to help you with all of what you've got going on financial-wise. As you look to the future, where are we headed? What's inflation doing? How do we fend that off? What do we do in our own financial world to make sure that we're stable as we get older and we want to retire someday and at least be financially secure? Talk to Al today, 303-744-1128, or find him at klzradio.com.
Feel good about your retirement with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You've already done the heavy lifting by setting money aside for retirement all these years. Now you're looking about 10 years ahead and asking, how can I be certain I'll have enough income in retirement? That's where creating a plan becomes vitally important. Al Smith will help you develop a strategy for the money waiting in your 401k or IRA. For the past 16 years, financial advisor Al Smith has specialized in helping his clients make the transition from working to retirement. He will help you make decisions now that will preserve your life savings for the future, like creating a plan to fund a long-term healthcare crisis should that become necessary. You've worked hard for your money. Now let's make sure your money works hard for you. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us again on this fine Monday. Got a little weather coming in, potentially tomorrow. It's springtime, so we could have some weather that comes and goes. That's pretty normal for us, the temperature fluctuations and so on. But it looks like we're getting closer and closer to spring. I had this question last weekend, when do we start taking snow tires off in this state? I will tell you right now, personally speaking, I would wait at least until April 15th. Those of you that are transplants that have come in, I would wait at least until the 15th of April, and then at that point kind of see what the future looks weather-wise, and at that point typically pretty safe. So I still think you had a couple of weeks yet before you start making any of those changes. Again, I'll keep monitoring that and watching it very closely myself and let you all know what my thoughts are. But I think at this point, you're still a couple of weeks away. That's what I would say. Chuck Bentley joining us now, CEO of Crown Financial. Chuck, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thank you, John. It's good to be here. I'm excited about talking to you.
Well, likewise. I really appreciate you joining us. And one thing I've been really talking about even all day today is, what are gray swans? Because I don't know that term.
Well, if you read the book or know about the term black swan, it was a bestseller in economics, and it described an event that is completely unpredictable. It's off the radar. Nobody can see it coming, but it has devastating consequences. So I started looking into that term and realized there's a derivative, and that derivative is a gray swan.
Okay.
And it is something you can actually identify. It's obvious. It has a low probability of happening, and so we tend to ignore it. So the book that I've written is about gray swans.
Okay, so those basically a derivative of what you were saying a moment ago. So I guess, first of all, name of the book and where can folks find it? Let's start there.
Seven Gray Swans, Trends That Threaten Our Financial Future. It's available at Amazon.com.
All right, so look, give us some of those and what we need to be looking for.
Well, I write about macroeconomic trends, John, things okay. that, like I said, you or I or anybody else could notice that are happening, and we tend to think, well, it's not going to get bad. It's not going to grow up and become a big, ugly problem one day. The first one is universal basic income. That's the idea that everybody gets paid a basic income for nothing.
Right.
Been endorsed by Elon Musk. It's been endorsed by, Andrew Yang ran on.
Yeah, he ran on that, actually.
Called the Patriot Dividend. He said he would send everybody $1,000 a month. Well, it's beginning to happen, not just in the United States, but all over the world. More and more governments are sending money. They're experimenting with this idea. And my view is that it is contrary to Scripture, where the Lord said that we should work. And if we don't work, if we're unwilling to work, we shouldn't eat. And that work brings dignity to our lives. And so, for starters, I don't know how we would ever pay for it.
Right.
And secondly, I think it strips away the productivity we need for a growing economy.
Agree. Well, so, I'll add one more thing to that too, Chuck, because I think, to your point, Scripture's clear that, we need to be self-cared, I guess is probably the best way for me to say that. He even talks about that in James, where, we need to make sure we're caring for ourselves, our family, and so on. I also think universal basic income really messes with dignity. It takes dignity away. Working, getting a paycheck for a job well done gives us, pride and dignity that you don't get with universal basic income.
Well, it also views people as simply consumers who need to be appeased. Most dystopian worldviews see man simply as a consumer. Therefore, they believe they have too many of us.
Right.
And the fewer we have, the better off the earth will be.
Right.
Well, the fact is, man is not simply a consumer. We're also producers. And when we produce, we multiply economic goods and services that make the world a better place. So we need more producers. We need more people in the workforce. I don't think big technology is going to displace all the jobs in the world. I think that's a myth. And so I think we need to look for UBI creeping up on us and say, that's not something we want here. It's not a policy that brings dignity. It's not a policy right. that's compassionate and helps people.
Fully agree. Let's talk about the next one, I think, is digital currency or the electronic economy.
Well, it's happening rapidly, especially
yes.
during COVID, John. We're seeing people that no longer want to accept cash because of the possibility that cash is infected. And we're moving very rapidly to a cashless society. Now, people have been talking about this for years. I remember when the credit card was introduced and people said, oh, that's going to be the death of cash. The fact is, in America, we still use about 30% of all transactions are done in cash. That's a number that surprises a lot of people, especially if they're, under age 28.
Right.
They think that cash disappeared. But we still use cash. We need cash. I think it protects our privacy, most of all, John.
Right.
And something that I'm an advocate for continuing to use cash. And I think that it's going to be slower coming than we may think. We perceive it's going to be here, super rapidly. Reality is, in some very interesting places, major cities in the United States, it's considered discriminatory to not accept cash. And so there's a lot of
yep.
forces working for
right.
preserving cash.
Yeah, well, and I also think, Chuck, get your feelings on this, but, I'm 56 and grew up with cash, and I'm a guy that still, I guess because I'm that guy. I've been carrying cash ever since I had a job with a paper route when I was 10. I don't think I've not had cash in my pocket since then. I'm being very honest, Chuck. It's just who I am. I'm one of those guys. I also look at it, though, and think that as long as guys like I are around, and I think there's even, a lot of younger folks that are younger than me that still, believe in cash, rely on cash, and so on. Until we're gone, I don't think this is going to, take over completely. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I don't think it's as significant of a gray swan as people perceive, and that's one of the reasons I wrote about it. It's obvious that it's on that trajectory, but it's not coming nearly as fast as people think. I do think it always is foreshadowing mm-hmm. to a complete loss of privacy and the potential for a total takeover of the global economy, of which I certainly would like to see that slowed down.
All right. What's the next point? What's your next one?
Well, John, the next one is modern monetary theory. It's one that When I originally heard about it, I thought it was laughable. I literally thought that there was no way that anybody could take this one seriously. But it is an economic theory that's being put forth in this country that deficit does not matter. And we don't
We're seeing it as we speak.
We're living it out.
Yes.
The truth is that both parties right now believe in it, and they're practicing it.
Yeah.
You don't hear any of the debates, should we be borrowing and printing this much money? You know, the money supply has doubled since 2009. We're just continuing to put more money into the system, and yet the argument isn't whether we should do it or stop doing it. The argument is who gets it. And so,
yeah, it's two arguments. It's who gets it and how much.
Yeah, you're right. Who gets how much? And so, modern monetary theory, and Senator Rand Paul stood on the Senate floor in December. I just released this book. It was brand new off the press, and he said, whether you want to admit it or not, this country is practicing modern monetary theory. It's an unproven theory, John. And you and I both know that we can print too much money.
Yes.
And that point comes when people lose their confidence in it.
That's right.
And I like to say Bitcoin is simply an indication of people's loss of confidence in fiat currency.
I agree. The only thing, and I've said this over and over again, and I'll stand by it, Chuck, the only thing keeping us propped up is the fact that we're still the best worst dollar in the world.
Yeah, you're exactly right, John. You and I agree on that point. One of my economist friends said that we're the healthiest horse in the glue factory.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. That, otherwise, we wouldn't be where we're at today.
Yeah, yeah. People still have confidence. You know, money flows towards trust, John.
Right.
Anytime there's an economic crisis in any part of the world, people start moving their money into this country. Yeah. And as long as we can stay the trusted currency of the world, that will still be happening. As soon as we've gone over the edge, compromised our integrity, where people don't trust this as a safe haven to put deposits in our banking system, that day will come, and we will probably experience the devastating consequences of loss of trust.
Talk about Democrat socialism, which, by the way, I think is an oxymoron, but talk about it anyways.
Well, John, you and I are agreeing it down the line here. I wrote about democratic socialism as a gray swan, because, you know, my father served in the Marine Corps. He's 88 years old. He can't imagine that anybody would think that that's a good idea. And yet all the polls and surveys indicate that the younger generation think it's compassionate. They think it's a better solution than capitalism. Even Christian authors are writing that
right. They
think Jesus was a socialist. And so this is a gray swan that is creeping up on us. You're seeing more and more people publicly speak about it. I've heard, candidates run for office who believe that this is the way to go. And it is not a political system. It is an economic philosophy.
That's right.
And what it means is that the government will become the primary owner of goods and services that are produced in this country.
Right.
And they will decide who gets to participate in the system so that they can supposedly close the income inequality gap.
Which in effect, just makes it worse.
It makes it worse. In capitalism, they're rich and poor. In socialism, they're rich and poor. The difference is, in socialism, the government chooses who's rich and
who's
poor.
That's right. They pick the winners and losers.
And so I'm not talking about whether you're red or blue or liberal or conservative. I'm talking about a radical shift in an economic philosophy that will bring about equal misery.
Hmm.
I've traveled the world, John. I've not seen it work in reality.
Nope.
It will
Agree.
Never work.
All right, again, folks, we're talking to Chuck Bentley real quick, CEO of the largest financial ministry in the world, Crown Financial. And I didn't want to interrupt, Chuck, but I just want to make sure people understand who we're talking to. And I like you. I've been all over the world as well, and you're correct. No, it doesn't work, period. It doesn't work.
Well, thank you for that, John. I mean, I think we've got to be able to speak to it from a biblical standpoint. Jesus was not a socialist.
Nope.
One thing I think I may be considered an expert in is what the Bible says about money and finances and economics.
Amen. I want to ask you a question along those same lines, Chuck, because I also am a firm believer that part of why we are where we are today is because we've lacked that biblical integrity from the pulpit in talking about these things. I almost feel like some pastors feel they shouldn't talk about money at all because it's just one of those taboos. So you can't get them to talk about it. You can't get them to talk about giving and the benefits and the blessings that come from, when you learn to give the discipline that instills into individuals' lives when they learn how to be givers, which, by the way, is the opposite of what a democratic socialist type of a system would be, because you're giving because you want to, not because you have to. They're completely opposite. Yet, Chuck, I feel like as churches, we don't preach on that at all.
Well, you're exactly right, John. If you look at the Ten Commandments through an economic lens, every single time that they're violated or disregarded, the economy suffers on every single one of them, and especially when you get to number 10. And number 10 is thou shalt not covet.
Mm-hmm.
And that means
right.
We should be grateful for what our neighbor has.
That's
instead
right.
of trying to take away from
and,
him.
In fact, Chuck, I'll add something, too. I know the Ten Commandments don't say this, but not only should we not covet, but we should actually be happy and lift that person up for the accomplishments in their life.
Well, no, totally. And what democratic socialism does is it envies those who have had success.
That's right.
It makes coveting legal. It is legalized coveting
right.
to say there are certain groups that should not have, they didn't earn that, and we need to take it from them and distribute it to those who don't have the same opportunity. And to me, it violates the scripture down the line.
Yep.
And to your point that we haven't been taught this, I don't think we have a good enough apologetic for biblical economics. And one of the reasons I wrote the book is so people would be equipped. If your child comes home from college and says, hey, I think socialism is going to be, eliminate all the greedy capitalism in this country, you need to be prepared to push back on that.
Yeah, I get perfect. I right there with you. Social scoring, and I know that that's something that is being used in other worlds or other parts of the world, I should say, China being one of them. Talk about it.
Well, when China basically gamified Big Brother, what they did is they said that we're going to start tracking your online activity, and we're going to combine it with your credit score. So if you do something we don't approve of online, your credit score will go down, which means you can't borrow money, you mm-hmm. don't get your tax refund, you don't get government support if you have a low social score. And it has since become Big Brother. They are controlling millions of people by now saying, if your dog is barking too loud and the neighbor mm-hmm. reports you,
right.
your social score goes down. And so it's a way to put fear and control over the people using technology. And the reason that I wrote about this one is we think, well, it's a gray swan because it's in China and it's not coming here.
Mm.
Look, private industry is already doing it, John.
That's right.
You know, I know, we all know that it is happening in private industry, and it won't be long before the government
right.
catches on because we think this is a good idea.
The other thing that's happening, by the way, in private industry, which you talk about next, is the biometric ID. That's already here. It's just a matter of when does it come to the Fed side of it.
Well, totally. And biometric ID means if you open your phone with your thumbprint or you go to the airport and you're allowed to board your plane by getting a facial scan, all of those things are being stored where a database will now one day have all of your information that you've voluntarily put online underneath your biometric ID so that your profile can no longer be made private. It is happening. It is happening rapidly. And I think it's a gray swan that all of us need to be much more
Agreed.
Careful about. And I wrote about some strategies to counteract this.
All right, last one is the digital networks, which we all can see how I think some folks think they're a lot more robust than they are, but they're actually very fragile.
Well, they're fragile on two levels, John, not just the functionality of them, the electronic inner workings, you know, whether the server goes down or the Tesla system goes down
right.
or the phone system goes down. We're vulnerable to that. We're totally dependent upon that. And I wrote about some of those extreme examples. But I think we're also vulnerable to fragile networks of them being hacked.
Yes.
We assume
yes.
that it can store everything
yes.
in the cloud and it's going to be safe. It is not safe. We don't read the terms and conditions. We're so past that. We just click, I agree. We download the software, and we trust somebody else with some of the most important data in our lives with very little backup and very little second thought. So I think it's an important gray swan.
when it comes to all these things, and again, get the book, folks. That's probably the best way to start fighting this. But what are, I know we got a couple of minutes. What are some practical things folks can do to start fending off some of this in their world?
Well, I think number one, to be informed. The Bible says that a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. It's not to just simply be alarmed or have a heightened awareness, but you need to do something about it. One of the paralyzing aspects of a gray swan is because we ignore them, we don't do anything, right, and we become at the mercy of our circumstances. And so prudent means you make a path to a wise destination. And it's a attribute, it's a value in the scripture that I think we're missing. We all need to become more prudent. Instead of being paralyzed by these things, let's look at them. As you say, let's reason about them. Let's use logic to make a plan and to counteract them. I wrote some very specific steps. Just on the very last one, on fragile networks, write down all of your passwords and use two-factor verification and authentication.
Right.
The hassle, you know, they have to text you.
It is a hassle, but you need to do it.
But you need to do it.
Yep.
Those are some of the simple, practical things that I'm encouraging Christians to do so that you don't become vulnerable to these things and wake up one day and say, why didn't somebody tell me? Yep. Well, they're listening to you, John. They're listening to Rush to Reason. We're trying to help them to see that now.
Good stuff, by the way. And you, as you can tell, Chuck, you speak my language. How do folks find more about you and Crown Financial?
Well, our organization is very simple, crown.org. It's one of the, you know, it's just a great domain name.
Been around forever, by the way, folks listening.
Yeah, we were started by Larry Burkett in 1976. We've helped millions and millions of people all over the world, and we have lots of free resources. We'd love to help them. John, I'm honored to be your guest. Thank you for the how well informed you were.
No, I've enjoyed it. I know I went a little long, but this is, Chuck, this is really, really important stuff. This is things that really, whether you're a believer or not, these are things that will impact everybody's life if they don't pay attention to it. And to your point, I think believers, by mandate, we should be more familiar with this than even anybody else. And yet at times, Chuck, we're not.
Yeah, totally, John. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, Chuck. I appreciate it very much. Again, Crown Financial, folks, you can go there, find out more, and also buy the book and get all the tips that Chuck's got. I'll read it. It's a great book, and I'm going to read just so I can inform all of you of the things that are in it as well. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next, folks. Again, one of the things you can do to be prudent is keep your own vehicle running. Keep it running in the longest you possibly can. You save the most money by doing so. And as we just talked about a moment ago about all the different technology, I love technology. I think it's great. It's fabulous, all that. But the reality is that the need to repair that and or having higher risk with it is always there. It's one of those things that you end up with. Your vehicle now is always the cheapest and easiest thing to keep running no matter what. Go to Extreme Auto Repair and get that taken care of today. 303-841-1071. Anything you need, find him at klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Folks, a number that you should always have in your number, as we just got done talking to Chuck a moment ago about things you can do to prepare for the future and so on. One of those things is, you know, have legal representation as needed. And that's Kevin Flesh. And he's always there for you no matter what it is. It could be something very simple or something very major. It just depends on what's going on in your world. But having good legal representation matters. And, you know, you should be calling an attorney prior to thinking you need one. And I mean that when I say that. Ask Kevin what I mean by that, and he'll explain. 303-806-8886. It's fleshlawfirm.com, and that's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
A good shot, folks. Talked to Al in the first hour and had a good conversation with him. They've got a great deal going on right now. If you're looking to get any kind of collision work done, they've also got a free $149 detailing they'll do at the same time. Now, you can get that detail done, period, whether you've gotten a collision repair done or not. But if you've got your car in for some collision work, they'll do that detail for you for free as well. So check them out. Go to klzradio.com. Three locations to serve you. 720-541-7697.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Going to say something here that some of you may not like, but I'm good at saying things people don't like. So you're going to hear a lot here in the not-too-distant future about equal pay. It's being pushed on the Biden platform constantly. In other words, you know, a woman basketball player should make the same money that a, you know, NBA male professional player should make. A female soccer player should make what a male soccer player. You get where I'm going with this. And you're going to see a lot of this promoted again from the Biden administration. As somebody that watched a little bit of women's basketball this weekend, not on purpose, I just happened to be sitting down for a meal and it was on. So I thought, well, it's there, I'll watch it. In a restaurant. Because you can't change the channel, or otherwise I would have. Why would I have changed it? I can't think of anything more boring to watch, folks, than women's basketball. It's slow. It's not fast. It's not watching the men play. Therefore, will they ever make the same money that a man makes playing basketball? I hope not, because it's awful. It's not the same. And granted, this was the NCAA, you know, finals, you know, the college end of it and so on. And I'm not trying to throw anybody on the bus. I'm just being very honest. It's not watching the men play basketball. And some of that you can just prove by the score. As I'm watching the score, and I don't know where the game finally went and what the score finally was, but by halftime, I don't think these gals had even gotten to 40 points yet on either side of the ball. And I'm not sure they got to 40 points by the end of the game. Where the men, typically, in not college, but in the pros for sure, they'll be to 40 by the first period. And yet there's folks out there that think they should have equal pay. It doesn't work that way, folks. We just talked about that a moment ago with Crown Financial. You should be rewarded for the value you bring to the table. And if you're a male player and you're bringing millions and millions and millions of dollars in, billions in a lot of cases with the pros, then yes, that justifies a higher pay. If on the same token you're playing on a female team because you're a lady and you can't hardly get a television deal, then why would you merit the same pay that your male counterpart gets? It doesn't make any sense, folks. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Going to talk some gun things as well. I'll leave it at that. There's a lot more going on. Stay tuned. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.